I really like sitting over here on this side of the table. I get a huge bank here of space and real estate. I could spread out a little bit. We got a guest on the phone today, so I can kind of hog the entire, what do we call this, console. Welcome to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. For the next hour, we'll be your local real estate news magazine. I am Mark Schneidman. Oh, I have an idea. Remind me to tell you, Jaron, for a little original music thing, a little glib thing we can use that I'm going to write. Local realtor since 1988 with Coldwell Banker and a Santa Barbara resident since 1977. We're here with talent on loan from the California Department of Real Estate. As usual, weekly multiple listing update, a fourth segment tracking median home price sales weekly year to date and the current active inventory of all compared to last year's numbers. A little slight uptick, very subtle. We'll talk about the in percent of listings in escrow ticked up a little bit and been following that for about a year. Also review the first 4 months of the year. We kind of ran out of time when I tried that a couple of weeks ago, so we'll try to start the fourth segment a little earlier. You can call us at 564-1290 or not. 564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com as well. You can listen to past programs. You can search MLS listings. You can go to newspress.com and actually listen to the show streaming. As our guest can today, who's down south a bit, good morning. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Big Brother Bob Braitman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dr. Schneidman.
I affectionately call him Big Brother Bob Braitman because he... he works, now he's not the chairman. Now we got the noise again on the phone.
Oh, I hear you fine. Are you not hearing me well?
I hear a buzz and a hum. Does that mean if I hear, is it going on the air that way? I tell you what.
Is that better?
No,
there is a little buzz here. I hear it too. Let's see what I can do about that.
Oh, that does sound a little better.
Yeah, great.
Did you shut off your hearing aid or your pacemaker?
Could probably use both as I get older.
Affectionately call him Big Brother Bob Braitman because there's a lot of bees in there, and he is the he's on LAFCO. Now, you're not on LAFCO.
I am the hired help. I'm a pale reflection of the elected officials I'm privileged to serve. I'm the executive officer of the commission.
Well, more I would say a hired gun than a hired help, wouldn't you?
Not me.
And these are elected officials, or are these guys appointed or anointed?
Well, the commission consists of seven commissioners. Two are members of the Board of Supervisors, and therefore they've been elected, but they've been appointed to LAFCO by the Board of Supervisors.
And the other five?
Well, two of them are elected officials on city councils, either mayors or members of city councils, and they're appointed to LAFCO by all of the mayors. All eight mayors get together and appoint two people to be on LAFCO. And the other two come from special districts, which are called independent special districts, water, sewer, and so forth. And they point two people to the commission. Then when you have the six members there, the two city, the two county, and the two special district, they choose the seventh member, the public member.
The public member. You know, it's
and I'm not a member of the commission, as I mentioned. I work for them and at their direction.
And your title is officially?
Executive officer.
Executive officer. It's funny, I'm not in politics. I sell real estate. But I look at the planning commission and this commission and all these different commissions, and it's all like the same people. It's like shuffleboard, you know? It's like everyone, it's the same faces.
Well, it's an interesting comment you make because of we have how many cities in Santa Barbara County?
Oh, you know that.
And we have eight. However, there's only two votes on LAFCO. So it's not always the same people. It's some of the same people. But the members on LAFCO, it's a very small, workable group of people. The other situation is as you've described it, local government is made up of local folks. And they are there in various capacities. So therefore, I think it's important that while sitting on LAFCO, the members of LAFCO have a good LAFCO perspective of why they're there and what their purpose is.
Well, I guess so. Okay, so LAFCO has, and they have a lot of control. And we're going to talk about what LAFCO does. They have a lot of power. A lot of people, right?
I think that's an accurate statement, yes.
And a lot of people are, and they're all over the state, and we'll talk about the origin, the genesis of LAFCO.
I'd be happy to do that, because it's important to realize that everything's sort of related to everything else. I think that's actually the first law of ecology, isn't it? Everything's related to everything else.
But, you know, well, first, I want to jump into what's on the front burner for a lot of local people, and that is the upcoming the debate over the Eastern Goleta Valley. And one of the things that LAFCO does, of course, makes decisions on what cities are either going to be annexed or what county.
Yeah, it assigns the territory, basically.
Yeah. Real estate. Carving up the real estate.
Right.
So that's
only in terms of governmental boundaries. LAFCO is not a land use planning authority. LAFCO doesn't have the power to zone property or to designate this or that as being single family or multiple family or commercial. Its powers are really related to the governmental organization or the governmental structure in the county. And that's why it's involved in, as you say, the Eastern Goleta Valley, what some people call West Santa Barbara.
So would you say that you're the puppeteer holding the strings and the puppets are the government? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think so. I think we live in a situation where we have shared responsibilities. In fact, before we talk about Eastern Goleta, Mark, let's just spend a minute or two talk about why LAFCO got here in the first place. There's a LAFCO in every county, basically the same governmental memberships, two members of the Board of Supervisors, two from cities and so forth. And that commission's been around since 1964. And why was it created in the first place? Well, because before LAFCO existed, a city could annex land only with the consent of the landowner. And there was no other agency that reviewed that annexation to see whether it was logical and orderly and so forth. And as a result of that situation where we had leapfrog, hopscotch annexations to cities, or a proliferation of single-purpose special districts that may provide water or sewer to attractive homes, but there's no fire stations nearby, there's kind of chaos in local government.
And what if the property wasn't private property, privately owned?
Well, I think LAFCO's jurisdiction it still controls whether it's public or private.
Well, I meant pre-LAFCO.
Oh, well, before LAFCO, annexations only required consent of the annexing agency and the property owner, whether it's public or privately owned.
Either way.
Yeah.
Now, was this prior to the unusually gerrymandered line where the city of Santa Barbara annexed the airport?
Well, actually, that occurred about the time LAFCO here was created, or maybe the year before. In that situation, the fact of the matter was that that was an airport owned by the federal government. I think it was a military airport. They were going to close it. There was a feeling that they needed to have a local airport. And the city of Santa Barbara, in fact, annexed not the land between the city and the airport, but rather a strip of land extending through the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah,
now,
I've seen
that. Your question is, would LAFCO allow that sort of annexation today? Well, I'm not sure. The result is we do have a commercial airport in the Goleta Valley in an area within the city of Santa Barbara, and the area is separated from the remainder of the city of Santa Barbara by the unincorporated Goleta Valley.
Yeah, to me, for those of you who can't visualize this, there's literally, it's like a, if you look at a map, there's a little pathway. I don't know, was it just a couple of feet wide?
No, it's got to be at least 100 feet wide.
Oh, it's 100 feet wide.
Yeah, so there's a strip of the city of Santa Barbara. The city boundaries extend into the Pacific Ocean and then north along the coast and back to pick up the Santa Barbara airport and some private property in the vicinity of the airport.
And right, and the private property around there is huge. I mean, there was that whole debate recently about putting a target.
That's correct.
There, and it's created such a mess, and now even more so, of course, because the city of Santa Barbara never fully annexed all the land, which maybe they could have at one point in time. But then now, of course, the city of Goleta is incorporated. It seems like a huge, ugly mess. I can't imagine. Is there anything like that in the state?
Oh, I'm sure that there's similar situations in other places. However, let's talk about the future here. Well, let's talk very briefly about the past. So LAFCO was created to bring order out of the chaos of local governments by establishing in every county a third party, a disinterested third party. So now if a city wants to annex land, it's not just the landowner's approval they need. They also need the approval of the commission. And so LAFCO was sort of the overseer of local governmental boundary change. Now, relative to the Eastern Goleta Valley in particular, it is an interesting situation. You have the city of Santa Barbara on the east and the city of Goleta on the west, and an area between the two, which is the neither city. Now, the city of Santa Barbara, in response to a petition it received, has filed an application, or I should say some citizens have filed an application with LAFCO to extend what's called the city's sphere of influence. Now, a sphere of influence is a legal term, and LAFCO is the only agency that can adopt a sphere of influence. And the legal definition, Mark, is a plan for the probable physical boundaries and service area. And so the city...
No, wait. Say that again so I get that. It's a
plan for the probable physical boundaries and service area of a local government, of a city or a special district.
So can I interpret that as meaning that it's an indication that the city would have designs or intentions or at least the ability to then annex it as a city?
It's important to realize that LAFCO is prohibited from approving an annexation to an agency unless the land is in the sphere of influence. So by LAFCO putting land in an agency's sphere of influence, it is indicating that that land is a logical, probable part of that agency and that it could approve an annexation if one is proposed. So yes, when the city received a petition by what's called the Committee for One and the West Santa Barbara Committee...
Why would you listen to just one person?
Oh, no, the petition was signed by thousands.
I'm kidding.
Oh. Well, anyway, so the city, after considering the matter, has filed a resolution or a letter supporting the expansion of their sphere of influence, and as a further good faith effort, the city is amending its general plan to include that area of the Goleta Valley so everyone would know what the proposed land uses would be if the land were ever annexed to the city.
Now, as I recall, the people, of course, who are proposing and pushing this sphere of influence were downplaying it, at least when I read. I don't know if this is true or not. You could correct me. They were downplaying this issue of city annexation. They're just saying, well, we just want this sphere of influence. It doesn't mean anything's going to happen.
Well, I think you've identified a very interesting and important aspect. Many years ago, the entire Goleta Valley was inside of the sphere of influence of the city of Santa Barbara. The idea being that the area would be at some point annexed to the city. But that's never really occurred. A number of developments, both residential and commercial, have been approved by the county within that sphere of influence, and the city has never, to my knowledge, in the past, seriously proposed annexing the area.
Bob.
Yeah.
You. This is very interesting to me. We need to take a break, and I want to come back and let's start off with this argument that I've heard is that, well, it used to be in the sphere of influence. Let's just put it back. And I want to talk about why it was in the sphere of influence in the first place and why it's not anymore.
So you actually expect me to sit here and wait for you to come back, huh, Mark?
Well, actually, you're not going to go anywhere. The truth is, we're just going to be sitting here, and I'm going to continue talking to you. But it's everyone else who's listening to us. They're going to go away for just a moment.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Big Brother Bob Braitman, he has a lot of power. He's the...
I don't. The commission does.
We did actually interview the chair of the commission once. And maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We're talking about the history of LAFCO, No Laughing Matter, Local Agency Formation Commission, talking about spheres of influence and annexation. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. 564-1290, 564-1290 if you have an opinion. If not, don't call in, 564-1290. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.